That is exciting, being able to listen to missions reports, especially from an area of the world that we were involved in, just on largely on the same island, and just the other side. A lot of differences, but a lot of similarities as well. And MAF was in Papua New Guinea, is in Papua New Guinea, and but did not come to our region very often. One time specifically, I remember working with them, they brought the caravan over, because my brother needed a large load into Lele, and so they brought their caravan over, and far larger than a 206, and so we were able to pull in to Lele the things that we were able that they needed at that time. Part of my job while I was there, as you all know, was loading airplanes, fueling airplanes, and talking the pilot back into our strip. When all of a sudden he was coming in and the weather was going down and stuff like that, and he would call me in and say, can you go to the airport and talk me in? And so I would talk the pilot in, back in, and give him the cloud height and stuff like that, and visibility and things like that. So yeah, that brings back a lot of great memories and the great need for our pilots and the great relationship that we had with pilots while we were in Papua New Guinea. We're continuing our series this evening on this unity and diversity. And the title isn't Let's Stand Firm. The title this evening is Building with a Purpose. I want to continue on in this series. What does unity and diversity look like? What should it look like? And as I shared last week, I kind of went into a little bit of the description of Canada is a picture of unity and diversity. And that this country is built on the opportunities of a diverse people groups of many different ethnicities coming together, moving in a common purpose. And so when it comes to the church, we can also be diverse, but yet we can be unified. And so we want to go in with some messages on what that looks like. And so this evening, I would like to speak specifically to the area of called edification. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that word, but let me introduce that to you and the concept. And the way I want to introduce that this evening is by reading a letter to you that came to me this past week. I was asked to put this into our bulletin. I wrote back to the gentleman, said, can I read it from the pulpit? And he said that would be a great idea. The person that wrote this letter is John Yoder, and you are familiar with that name as the director of ministry with Gospel Echoes team. He is writing this letter to Mr. William Weeb, Bill and Nettie Weeb. And the reason that I'm sharing this letter with you, for two purposes. First of all, to give glory to God, because as I talked and got permission from Bill this evening, he wanted it to be clear that he did this to honor and glorify God in his ministry. My second purpose in reading this to you is as an example of what edification looks like, and an active presentation of edification. So let me read this letter to you with both John Yoder's permission and with Bill Weeb's permission as well. Mr. William Weeb served on the board of Gospel Echoes Team Canada West for over 10 years. When he retired from the board in February of 2021, he was also stepping away after serving 9 years as chairperson. Bill's love for God and the concern for souls is easily recognized. With his breezy, practical, no-nonsense approach to the business at hand, Bill was instrumental in the hiring of a ministry director in 2013 and has facilitated sustainable growth in ministry funding through the development of several ministry-owned thrift stores. Most recently, Mr. Weeb led the ministry to the building and establishment of a permanent ministry office for Gospel Echoes team in Osler, Saskatchewan. We are grateful for his leadership and will miss him. We wish him God's blessing as he enjoys a well-earned retirement in Christ, John Yoder. And so as I shared already, there was an example of what edification looks like. The whole aspect of building one another up. And this was an opportunity. They wanted to do something different, but due to the climate that they're in, they were limited with their opportunity. And so I shared this with Bill on the phone an hour or two ago, and he gave me permission to share that. But that's a picture of what edification in the body of Christ can look like and we should be about in our lives. I've titled this message, Building with a Purpose. And so as I begin, let me open up with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have to look into your word. And Heavenly Father, we're asking that you might be glorified this evening, that Heavenly Father, people might see you and might give you the glory and honor that you deserve and only you. So pray that you might teach us, for praying it in your name. Amen. With the warmer temperatures and a building frenzy has begun. I'm not sure if you have been on some traveling as a family. Maybe you've gone out on little day trips into different communities, or maybe even on the way to your home, you're seeing building activity take place. And even as Gary and I go to the gym every day, we always kind of watch this one house that's under development and wonder who's going to live there and why would they want to live there, but that's another story. But there's a building frenzy that is going on at the present time. Construction season is in high swing. They're looking for more people to help out. And so houses are seeming to go up overnight, and along with various commercial buildings. And so as we're in the gym, we're looking across the street and we're seeing that new Shoppers Drug Store going up across the street there, and see the progress that is quickly happening there. The news is reporting an increased building climate over the last year, and even with unprecedented lumber costs. And also, as I was talking to another gentleman about steel costs, they said, if you want to put up a steel building, you're looking, 8 to 9 months ahead to be able to get the steel in place for that building. So even with all that, building is still continuing to move forward. But with this comes reflection on the way things used to be as well. We're excited with the opportunity of seeing new things. But as we seemingly gain in years, we look back and say, wow, that used to look like this. That used to be an open field. That used to have this store or that store. And so it comes with reflection as well. Some things are brought down and replaced with something new and different. The landscape seems to be in constant motion. As much as things are changing around about us, things are changing with each of us as well. We see individuals who used to be little, and now we're forced to look up to them. All of a sudden you hear those expressions, wow, you've really grown, you've really shot up. And all those expressions, especially grandparents seemingly like to mention those, as the opportunities to see grandkids are not as often. We marvel over the changes in our friends we have not seen for a long time. Everything is in constant motion. Some things we are excited about and others we are not so excited about. Most of us have weigh scales in our houses which indicate whether building has been going on. We have clothes in our closets that used to fit, and for whatever reason they seemingly have shrunk. And we are waiting for the day when they will return to their previous size. Now, I recently went through my closet and I figured, no, that's been long enough. And so I had to took them away. But we all look at those clothes that we are hoping will one day fit again. See, the Word of God presents us the picture of a building using the word edification. The word has the meaning of dwelling, to build, construct a dwelling. It is the bringing of something closer to fullness or completion, as if assisting in the construction of an incomplete building. And so as you read the word edification throughout the Word of God, then we gain that picture, what kind of building is going on? What are they encouraging us to move towards? And Paul encourages us in multiple passages to be involved in the work of edification. We can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, where it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Paul there was encouraging the church to be involved in the work of encouragement and also the work of building one another up. But it wasn't just a suggestion that Paul was making. He was commanding the Thessalonian believers that they needed to be about the work of encouragement. They need to be about the work of building one another up. It's something that they had to be about. It's something that God calls us to be about in our lives. 1 Corinthians 14:26, speaking specifically about gifts there. But at the end of the verse, he says, let all things be done for edification. And so even the gifts that God gives us, the purpose in giving them to us was not for our own selfish use, but it was for the work of edification, the work of building each other up in the church. And if you are a believer here at this time, that God hasn't gifted you with specific gifts. And the purpose of him giving those gifts to you was for the church, for the building up of the church. The church being more than just this building, the church being the body of Christ. And the question we need to ask ourselves at this time is, what are you doing to build up the body of Christ? Are you being obedient to the command that God has left us with? The believer is expected to be involved in the work of building up their fellow believers. Our times of gathering together are not for self-edification, self-adulation, or entertainment, but to the giving of glory to God by means of building up the body of Christ. We come, we spend time in worship that God might be ascribed the glory that is due him. But one way we can give glory to God is by edification, building up our fellow believers. In Acts 20, verse 32, Luke shares this verse with us. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul shared with the believers that he was commending them to God. He was putting them in God's hands as God called them to minister in various locations. And as he saw people come to know the Lord and become his children, he realized that God's ministry for him was to multiple locations, multiple peoples, multiple ethnos people. They would need somebody who is able and constantly with them. And God is faithful and always present and always about the work of building. If they were going to go on and be built up in the faith, they would need to drink much of God and his grace, for that is where the power for growth comes from. But they would also need to experience much of the word of his grace as well. And where do we find that except by spending time in the word of God, where we gain the grace that God desires to give us as we spend time learning and sitting at his feet listening to him. And so isn't it in Psalm, I believe it's chapter 27, verse 4, where it was the desire of David that he might sit in the temple of God, that he might dwell at the feet of Jesus, was his heart's desire. Is that our heart's desire? That we might spend time in God's presence. God, I want to listen to your word. I need your grace day by day. And he does give that grace to us. This word able in this verse is an interesting word because it is the word dunamis, which we're all familiar with. The power of God, which is the intrinsic power of God. It is available. It is possible. And so this building that God desires to do in our lives will come to fruition if we but lean into him and gain the grace that he desires to give. And he has promised will be about that building. His ability, his dunamis power is always enough. It does not limit in any way and is not limited in any way. It is an unlimited supply, but also able to see every building through to completion. This building that God does is also able to give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. That is the foundation of our building needs to be upon God with the resources that he supplies. If we are going to build a building that is going to have a strong foundation, a strong opportunity to last, it has to be built upon the foundation that he supplies. Every builder knows that unless you get the foundation right, there's little you can do to dress up the rest of the building that will not be compromised. I remember often as I was in the construction trade, the frustration of things not being square, the frustration of things not being done from the previous trades, looking after and doing quality workmanship. If that foundation wasn't level, then it was a nightmare for every trade after that. If the framing was not done square, then the frustration of the drywallers and the finishers comes to play. And all the remarks, wow, then they know who a quality foundation person is or a quality builder. Their work is far easier when things are square and secure. What a joy to know that God is about the building in our lives and his work is thorough and complete. We have the joy of working with him and with his resources in the building process he has called us to do. Yes, God is about that building in our lives, and he is about that, and he has promised to be about that, and he will bring the building to completion. But he allows us and has gifted the body of Christ to be workers with him in his grace ministry to the body of Christ. That we have opportunity to experience, we have an opportunity to give that grace by and through edification. But not all building is profitable and not all things edify. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. The Amplified Version reads, all things are lawful, that is morally legitimate, permissible, but not all things are beneficial or advantageous. All things are lawful, but not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life. Many things may be permissible for the Christian, but it is not wise for him to live a life of reckless abandonment to self-satisfaction. See, there's much that God has not specifically commanded us not to do. He gives us much freedom, and especially as you look through the book of 1 Corinthians, you will see the freedom that Paul had as he walked the Christian life. But Paul was willing to give up those freedoms for the sake of his converts, the sake of the church. And so you will read there that he was willing to give up meat sacrifice to idols if it would allow a weaker believer to move forward in the faith. To be pleasing to his heavenly Father, a Christian must choose that which builds up, but not only for himself, but also for his building in others. See, there's things that aren't profitable. There are things that are not advantageous when it comes into our lives. There's things that are lawful, not specifically commanded against. See, lawful is an action that is not prevented by a higher norm or court, an action to which there is no psychological or ethical block. But not all things are continually profitable. Not all things are continually edify. He is speaking to the realm of spiritually profitable and spiritually edifying, building up character in himself and in his brother. Are we willing to give up what we believe is lawful for us for the sake of somebody else? Am I willing to give up the rights that I have because it will move and it will build up the faith in somebody else? The question we must always ask is, does all things, whatever they are, build up or tear down spiritually? Thus we see the implicit principle of self-denial. While a believer in Christ can do all things that are not sinful, such as eating meat we know has been offered to idols, he or she may and should choose to limit that freedom if it does not profit or build up one's or another's spiritual condition. See, we're not thinking about only ourselves when it comes to the body of Christ. We're thinking about the body in its completion, in its fullness. We're thinking about those who have grown deep in the things of God. But then there's also new believers. And so the things that I might find lawful in my life might be a hindrance to somebody else. And as a child of God seeking to edify the body of Christ, am I willing to limit the freedoms that I know I have? That's not under dispute. But am I willing to give up those freedoms for the sake of somebody else? And Paul was willing to do that in his ministry. Hebrews 12 verse 1 speaks of stripping off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And there the writer of Hebrews is talking about running the race. And so as a runner of a race, he sought to take every weight off that he could. And it comes to flight programs as well, especially when I was working with the helicopter. When we were trying to push heavy loads, we would take off as much weight off that helicopter as we could. The doors came off, and every piece in the back storage box came out, and everything that was possible came off the helicopter. He sought to drop his weight of his fuel as low as he could so that he could get that weight off the ground into different locations. It works when it comes to airplanes. Weight is an issue. When it comes to running a race, weight is an issue as well. And if you want to run in such a way as to win, then we run with as little weight as possible upon ourselves. A building that is built up can withstand the winds of adversity and antagonism, which are sure to blow. Susanna Wesley defined sin to her young son, John Wesley, in this way. If you would judge of the lawfulness or the unlawfulness of pleasure, then take this simple rule. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and takes off the relish for spiritual things, that to you is sin. And that's what Susanna Wesley shared with her son. Whatever takes you away from your vision of God and who he is for his glory, am I willing to lay that aside, even though I have the right to that? There are things in life that do not build up, but are hindrances in the building process. My father used to take us boys to job sites to give him a hand with the work. I'm sure that we were not always profitable or edifying to his ministry or his job that he was doing. But we were looking at it from our perspective, that us boys who were underage at that time, as we went to different construction sites that my dad took us along to, our profit wasn't overly good. But then there was also the perspective of what my dad was seeing, and his perspective was profitable for down the road as he sought to teach us boys how to work, that we might become profitable in time. The whole area of profit, is it immediate? Is it future? Paul continues with his teaching on edification in Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. A contrast is placed before us. We can let unwholesome words proceed from our mouths, or we can give words good for edification. And so every time you see that word but, then you're thinking of a contrast in the Word of God. What is he seeking to contrast here? What is something that is good for edification? And the opposite of edification is something that is unwholesome. These unwholesome words are those which are putrefying, rotten, or causes to decay. And you may not see the result immediately, but down the road, a result will come of putrefaction. You don't often see the putrid bushel of apples, but if you let that bad apple stay in that bucket, you'll soon see all the apples take on that bad smell. Paul is condemning any use of the faculty of speech that is morally unhealthy and suggests impure thoughts, light view of sin, irreverence towards God, or trifles with serious things. Our words do not have to be dirty to be worthless. The end of the battle for purity in the mouth is fought in the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. Paul is commanding us to abandon profitless speech and substitute constructive conversation. Because Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. So it's not just the aspect of unwholesomeness that we need to take away out of our vocabulary, but there's the object that one day we are going to give an account for that word that we used, whatever it may be, whether it was dirty or undirty. But if it was something that was putrefying in another person's life, we will have to give an account for it one day. Words that are good for edification contrast with unwholesome words. There are words that are suitable, profitable, and beneficial. These words are based on the hearer's need and are spoken accordingly to meet that need, building them up rather than tearing them down. These words are more than simple good for building them up. They must also be those which are needed or fit the occasion as well. See, we can build one another up, and he commands us to do that. But here he continues on this verse with that are fit for the occasion. They shall give, good for edification according to the need of the moment. These words are more than simply good for building them up. They must also be those which are needed or fits the occasion. This means that I must consider the people to whom I am speaking. My speech and conversation must be appropriate for them. Many Christians, people do not do this. What they do is they deliver a sermon. They address an individual as if he or she were a public meeting. They sermonize. They give a little address or sermonette. They make very good statements about the gospel and the way of salvation. But sometimes it is not at all appropriate and does not fit the occasion. They're thinking more about themselves than the needs of the other individual. The Christian's word of edification should always fit the occasion. We are to discover first what is the exact position of the other people that we are speaking to. Too often we feel good because all of a sudden we've said something great, truths about the word of God. And there's a place for that. But when it comes to the object of building, then we need a word that fits the occasion. And the only way we can do that is by gaining a knowledge of where that individual is. This implies you are sensitive enough to understand what the person's real needs are. And if you do not understand the person's needs, even well-intentioned words can often hurt more than they heal. First of all, we need to learn the person's needs by listening. You have got to listen to discern what the other person's needs are. Thus, the body of Christ, we need to get together. We need to find out where that person is at in their walk with the Lord. We need to find out where and what they are struggling with, that we might be able to give an encouraging word as God leads us and as God's grace is extended to us, whereby we might extend that same grace to them. Are we learning and are we seeking to listen to others? Secondly, learn the person's needs by asking questions. Proverbs 18 verse 13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Thirdly, learn the person's needs by picking up nonverbal clues. Much of communication is nonverbal. Now, I understand some people are more gifted in this than others. And sometimes us men need to listen to our wives when it comes to this area, because they seemingly have a greater gift often than us men do on different those cues from individuals. And it's even interesting that Teresa has a seeming gift that way, that she can walk into a room and she can have a feel that something's not right in this situation. I don't have that gift, and so I have to learn how to listen to her, or else pick those cues up in other ways as well. All of this for the express purpose of building up the other person, but also that it might give grace to the individual. God is the ultimate source of all grace, 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But Paul is implying that we as his ambassadors can function as channels of his grace, even in our everyday conversations. And so as we seek to gain knowledge of where that individual is, we can extend God's grace at that specific time and where that need is in that individual, where they are at. Grace extends to others what God has extended to you. It also extends to others what you need to return, what you need in return from others, because you often fall short here as well. You need grace as well from others. The body of Christ, give and take with one another. We can extend God's grace to meet a need where an individual is at, if we know where that individual is at. The building process is often a tedious process and days filled with what looks like little progress. Some major job sites have progress cameras that are either a movie camera or take a picture every so often. The time from initial concept to completion can take months to years, but the faithful attention to detail sees the project come to completion. And it's the same when we extend the work of edification in somebody else's life as well. We might not see the immediate result of that work that you did in seeking to build them up, but it was something that they needed at the time of their building where they were at, that either encourages, either seeks to build, either comes alongside and helps them with a difficult little project. Often when it comes to renovations and stuff like that, we're not often gifted in every area, so we call in gifted individuals to give us a hand at different points of time. But when we come to that need, then it's great to have those individuals at that time when we have that need. See, when the foundation is truly laid upon Christ and with his grace, the building will go up. Christ is about that work in our lives, but also gives us the responsibility to walk in his grace in our own lives, but also in the lives of each other. It would be the desire of every believer to move toward completion and fulfillment of God's intention. We are blessed in what we get to experience, the work of edification in our lives from the body of Christ. God has designed the body of Christ whereby we might seek to build one another up, that we might be able to be that encouragement along the way. Yes, God is about that work in our lives, but God has extended that work to us as well. How are you edifying the body of Christ? Whoever that may be, that God brings into your life at opportune times. whereby we have opportunity to listen, opportunity to question, opportunity to see their nonverbal expressions and then to give a word of encouragement at a time that they need it, that they might be encouraged to keep going on. We don't know how people are discouraged, especially in this season that we are in. We don't understand all that people are experiencing, the hurts, and all the blessings when God brings an individual upon into our lives at just that right time to give us that encouragement to keep going on when we need. Oh, that we might be those people that God can use at opportune times in each other's lives to work the work of edification. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had this evening, and pray that you might allow us those opportunities to work the work of edification in each of our lives, that we, the body of Christ, might pull together, that we might be able to listen, that we might be able to understand, and then, Heavenly Father, with your wisdom and your in gifting, to give a word of grace at a time in their lives where they are needing it at the most. So may we be about that, I pray, in your name. Amen.